much. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 24. The book of Genesis chapter 24. I want to read from this text. It's also good to see my cousin, Austin Griffith. Amen. Me and him are cousins. I say, as far as my family in the holiness movement, I don't have probably 5 members of my entire family, maybe more, but I appreciate Brother Austin too. I'm really proud of him. Yeah. And of course, he married Kurt's daughter and got in a great family and come from a great family, and God's anointed his life too, him and Sister Kelly. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do for Brother Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And so we're just appreciating them. Everybody, I don't want to leave nobody out. Thank you for being here. Amen. Everybody love the Lord?
Yeah.
Yes,
amen. Appreciate you. I want to read from Genesis 24. Of course, it is, let me give you just a scripture picture really quick here. It is it's probably one of the most beautiful, beautiful chapters in the Old Testament that deals with the foreshadowing and the type and shadow, if you will, of the plan of salvation. And it's a very powerful chapter. There's no way that I'm going to even be able to get 1% of what this chapter is dealing with. But there is a little phrase in here that I want to try to preach from, because in this chapter, Abraham is a very elder man. He's very old, the Bible said. He's well stricken in age. His wife, Sarah, has died in the previous chapter. And so here you have a man who's lost his wife, who has a son named Isaac. You remember that, don't you? And Abraham, Sarah, and their son Isaac. Isaac in this chapter is 40 years old. And of course, God has promised Abraham how he was going to bless his seed,
yeah,
and his children and his and so on. And of course, in this chapter, Abraham being old and Isaac being 40 and not married, you can sort of sense Abraham is he's thinking about the promise of God. And of course, in this chapter, Abraham sends his eldest servant back to his hometown where Abraham came from. Amen. To gather a bride for Isaac. How many knows where I'm at?
Oh, yeah.
How many remembers that, Bible readers? And so in that text, of course, you know, there's some questions that go on. The elder servant, you know, says, how will I know which one she is? You know, that's around a 500-mile journey, Brother Pastor, from where Abraham was talking to the elder servant to go get a bride, because Abraham just said go to his country. Mm-hmm. It'd be like from you going from here maybe to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And God saying go to Atlanta, Georgia and pick out a bride. Where would you start? What side of town would you go on? And so you can see the little hesitant in the elder servant. And he even spoke to Abraham in that hesitant tone. I don't know about this. But Abraham said, I'll pray. Right?
Yeah.
And the Lord will send an angel before thee.
Yes.
Amen. He calmed him down. He got there. Finally, he traveled 500 miles across the desert, across the wilderness on them camels. And he got there. It's sort of the evening. And it took him 30 days, entire month, to travel from where Abraham started in the first of the chapter, chapter 24 and verse 1 or 2. And then where I want to read at, toward the end of the chapter, is about 30 days later. Amen. The elder servant is there now. He's just pulled into the town, so to speak, and he's praying and asking the Lord, you know, to give him a sign. You remember that? And said, Lord, whoever, amen, that whatever lady comes to me and offers to give me a drink of water, stay with me. I'm just going to give you a scripture picture before I read my text. And not only does she offer to give me a drink of water, she offers to give my camels, which he had 10 camels that went with him. And a camel can drink, they said, 20 to 30 gallons each after a long day's journey.
Yep.
So what he was saying, Lord, I wanted to offer me a drink, but I also wanted to offer to pack 200 to 300 gallons of water to water the camels. And the elder servant said, I'll know that that's the lady you sent, amen, for me to take back to Isaac. And of course, you know, before he even gets done praying, who shows up? What's her name? Thank you, Bible readers. Rebecca shows up. Amen. And of course, they end up spending the night, and he goes on to her house, this elder servant. Amen. And of course, mom and dad, Rebecca's mom and dad, amen, fix a big old meal.
Yeah.
Stay with me. And before they get ready to eat, before he stops them, the elder servant, and he tells what I just told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He explains to them the mission, amen, that he was sent on, and Rebecca and her parents and her brother, they all realized that God had sent him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they agreed to let him go the next morning.
Yes.
So the next morning comes, and this is where I want to take up my text. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. And so they get up in their morning, and the Bible said in verse 54, Genesis 24 and verse 54, and they did eat and they drank, he and all the men that were with him. They tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Of course, her brother and her mother, they was a little hesitant. They wanted to stay at least 10 more days, but the elder servant told them, don't hinder me. This is the will of the Lord. The Lord has prospered my way. And they said, we'll call for her. And when they did, amen, here was her response in verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man?
Yeah.
And she said, those three words, I will what?
Go.
Now, in this text
that
we're reading here, amen, I want you to understand, Rebecca did not even know this servant less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Her mom and dad did not know this servant less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
She had never laid eyes on Abraham. She had never laid eyes on Isaac. She did not know what Isaac looked like. Amen. She had never been to where they were going. So in other words, amen, when the Bible says I will go. And then in verse 61, the Bible said, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. And the Bible said, and followed the man.
Yeah.
Now in this text, amen, she was going to follow a man, amen, that she did not know, to a place she had never been, to see a man she had never met. Now I tell you, when you do that, amen, you know that God is in the arrangements. Amen. Now I said this is a type and shadow. Amen. I don't think it's controversial if you're a Baptist or a Holiness or whatever the case may be. Most people that read the Bible and know about these type of things realize that Abraham in this text, amen, no doubt is a type and a shadow of God the Father. Amen. In the elder servant, amen, who in this text chapter, the Bible doesn't mention his name, but we learn his name throughout the Bible. But he is a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost.
Right? Yeah.
Amen. Rebecca is a type of the church.
Right.
Amen. And Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so Abraham sends the elder servant, just like God the Father sends the Holy Ghost and deals with people's hearts.
Yeah.
Amen. To come to Christ. How many remembers when you got under conviction?
Yes.
I said, how many remembers when you got under conviction?
Woo.
And the Spirit of God convicted your heart and dealt with you? Amen. You know, I remember that June the 29th, 1983, 35 years ago plus. Amen. That I sat in that little church of God, and God gave me the privilege of holding a revival. this past Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. I was very full this entire year, up into next year, to be very honest. And I give God the glory for that. Amen. But that pastor just texted me a couple weeks ago and said, "Hey, Brother Rick, there's probably not a chance in a million. Do you got Sunday through Wednesday open?" This past Sunday through Wednesday night of this week. And I said, "Yes, sir. That's, matter of fact, that's really the only time I've got open." Amen. Basically, for the end of the year, the very week, and it was very refreshing for me to go back to the very church where it all started. Amen. Where I got saved as a 17-year-old boy. Where are you going with this, Brother Rick? Hang on. Woo.
Holy.
Come on now.
And so I remember that. And you know what? When the Spirit dealt with me in that revival, I did not know who the Spirit was.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
In my mind, Brother Dishman, I thought I was sitting there thinking and weighing it all out myself. I didn't realize the Holy Ghost was talking to me. I didn't realize what the word conviction was. Amen. But I still believe in old time conviction. When this elder servant talked to Rebecca and her mother, amen, they felt, amen, that God was in this, though they had never met Abraham. Amen. They didn't even know the servant in this text is what's so amazing. Now the Bible doesn't say this, but commentaries state that probably, amen, Rebecca, amen, knew that she would never ever come back to see her parents again.
Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Lord.
It's 500 miles across the desert.
Yeah.
Amen. They said she probably knew that this was the last time. So when she kissed her mama and her daddy and her family goodbye, and she got on that camel and she started following that man, which is a type of the Holy Ghost, across that desert 500 miles away. Amen. She was making a commitment, just like it was when I prayed that night in 1983 as a 17-year-old boy. And I said, "Yes, I will follow, amen, the man." And I followed the Spirit of God, which I didn't really understand at that time, down to that old-fashioned altar in that little church of God. Amen. And you know what I did? I said, "I will go." And from that day to this, I did like Rebecca and said, "I will follow the Spirit of God. I will follow this man." I've never met Isaac as a type of Jesus yet, but I'm on my way. Because one day, like Brother Kurt said, amen, we're going to get to a place called heaven. And we'll finally see Isaac. How many's excited about seeing Isaac? Amen. How many's excited about seeing Jesus is what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
And so in this text, and I want to hurry, she followed the man. She followed the Spirit.
Yeah.
I remember the first time the Spirit dealt with me. I saved 2 weeks. I was between my junior and senior years. I was lifting weights for the football team at Leslie County, Kentucky. And I loved football. I mean, you could probably tell I was a football fan. I loved it. I was in there in the weight room, and the coach walked out 2 weeks, 2 weeks after I got saved. Amen. How many knows the Spirit can talk?
Yeah.
L.D. Moore said that. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I believe the Bible. I believe the Spirit of God can talk to you.
Amen.
Now, I'm just a young 2-week-old Christian. You understand what I'm saying? The coach walks out of the weight room. A couple of them boys start talking about their girlfriends and what happened the night before. And for the first time in my life, amen, I hear a voice in my heart and in my mind. Brother Tommy, help me preach, Holy Ghost.
Yes,
I hear something deal with my heart. Amen. I'm just a young Christian. I don't know nothing hardly about the Bible. I couldn't have told you the difference between God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. That's how ignorant, because I was not raised in church. Amen. Though my grandma was Pentecostal on both sides, I was not raised in church. I didn't know a lot about the Bible. Amen. But when them boys started talking bad 2 weeks after I got saved, Brother Kurt, the Spirit come on my heart and said, "You do not need to be here." Amen. That's all he said. I didn't have to ask my mom. I didn't have to ask my dad. I didn't even have to ask the pastor. No disrespect. But I knew it was the Spirit. And you know what I did as a 17-year-old boy? And I loved playing football. I want you to understand. But when I heard when I made that decision on that Tuesday night of that revival to follow the man to see Isaac, I started following that man. I started following the Spirit of God. And that was the first time he said, "All right, I want to see can do. You don't need to be here. When practice was over, I went straight to the coach's office and I said, Coach Couch, amen, I'm quitting the football team. And his instant response was, what happened, Simpson? Did you get religion?
Well.
Now, I wasn't, you know, religious, so I didn't say, no, sir, I did not get religion. I got salvation in my heart. Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all sin. And I didn't know how to answer like that. I said, yes, sir, I got religion.
Yeah.
That's all I knew how to answer. Forgive me, okay?
Yeah.
Amen. I said, when you walk out, them boys are talking bad, and I just don't need to be around that. Amen. And I started following. How many knows? How many remember some of the first times of Spirit?
Yes.
You know, when I got saved in that Church of God, you know what them old time, I'm talking about Church of God now, not Holiness. But that old time, them old time Church of God people come up to me, and I was just a little boy, young boy, when a little boy, I was a pretty good side boy, to be honest with you. Amen. But them folks come up to me in that Church of God, and they say, now, Brother Rick, if the Spirit convicts you over anything, you need to give it up.
Yeah.
Amen. The Spirit will deal with you, Brother Rick. They knew about sanctification. They knew about that. Amen. And through my life, I've had times, amen, following the man. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Amen. How many thankful for the influence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives?
Yes.
I tell you, you wouldn't have no church trouble if folks would follow the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have no marriage trouble.
Come on.
Both of you are saved.
Thank you, Lord.
If you follow the Spirit.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
There wasn't too many shouting on that one.
Woo!
Great. Holy, 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 Lord.
I'm not saying you won't ever, you'll have a, you know, a little argument once twice a year, but they won't be just cussing and fussing all every week.
Come on now.
That's right.
All right, I better quit meddling here. Amen. Get back to the good stuff for folks to smile at you. Hallelujah.
Come on.
I want to ask you a question. Here, I want to preach. Can I preach for you just a few more minutes?
Yes.
Amen. If Abraham is a type of God the Father, and the servant is a type of the Holy Ghost, and Isaac is a type of Christ, and Rebecca is a type of the church. But I want you to notice one more thing in this chapter, because the Bible said Rebecca rose and her damsels, and they rode up on the camels, and she followed the man. And Isaac came down the way. They got there 500 miles, 30 days later. Amen. He come from the well, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. I want to ask you here, what do you think the camel is a type of?
Well,
praise God.
I mean, she rode the camel, amen, from A to B. I give me a little room here, okay? Y'all have a little mercy on me here.
Come on.
I want to preach to you. I think, in my little country mind, I think this camel could easily be a type of grace.
Yes. You're right.
And so I want to preach just for a few minutes on a camel named Grace.
Holy Lord.
I think the scripture don't say that we're saved by what?
Grace.
By grace. Now, when the Lord gave me this little message, you want to look about a camel and the characteristics of a camel. Amen. And one of the first things I was reading about a camel, amen, how that it could be similarities and characteristics of grace. Amen. One man said he was over in the Holy Land, and he stood there, and he looked at a camel 6 to 8 feet tall, and he wanted to ride it, and he thought, how in the world could he get on that camel? Amen. And he was wondering how. And all of a sudden, the owner of that camel walked over and whispered in the ear of that camel. And all of a sudden, that camel kneeled all the way down. amen, on his knees, got all the way down on his belly. And the owner of the camel looked over to man, amen, who was wondering how he could get on it, and said, now anybody, even a child, could get on this camel and ride. Amen. Can I tell you that I have seen grace kneel down, amen, for the most feeblest person to get on board. She rode that camel. Amen. Are you hearing me? She followed the man. She followed the spirit, but she was riding grace. You know, when you get to heaven, you know how you're going to get to heaven? Grace. Amen. When you get there, you're going to say, I made it by grace. You're not going to say, I made it because I had a made up mind. I made it because I didn't cuss. I made it because of this or that. You're going to say, I made it here. Amen. Because of the grace of God that has appeared unto all men and teaching me to deny ungodliness and worldly. I thank God for grace. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Grace came down, amen, and picked me up. Oh, yeah. Earlier this year, we had a man come to our church, Mr. Gene Lockhart. He was 82 years old. He had never been saved, never hardly ever been to church. 82 years old. He come on a Sunday morning back February and March this year. Amen. And I preached a simple gospel message to Mr. Lockhart. He did not pray. Amen. The following Saturday, I knocked on his door. I found where he lived at. I mean, he'd only been in my church one time on a Sunday, but the following Saturday, I knocked on his door. I walked in. He was surprised to see the preacher, you know. And I said, hey, Mr. Lockhart, I just wanted to come by and tell you how much I enjoyed you being at church last Sunday. Amen. His face just lit up. Amen. I just want to tell you, man, Mr. Lockhart, I've been praying for you every day. I know you've been a little sick, and I'm just thankful. And I'm just here to invite you. I wondered if you're going to come back in the morning. A big smile come on his face. He said, preacher, I'll plan on being there in the morning. Amen. So guess what? Mr. Lockhart kept his word. He came back the following Sunday, showed up the next morning. And again, I preached a little gospel sermon. And I seen that 82-year-old man this time, amen, stand to his feet. And you know what? Amen. I seen grace go over there by the altar and kneel all the way down so that a feeble 82-year-old man could come up to that altar and kneel down and testify with his own lips that he got gloriously saved. I want to preach a little bit about a camel named
Grace.
You'll see here in a few minutes.
Grace.
A camel named Grace.
Holy, holy.
About 3 years ago, another 82-year-old man came to our church. His name was Charles Lockhart. Amen. Or excuse me, Ackerman, rather. Charles Ackerman. He was the head deacon's father-in-law. He had never been saved. He was a mean man through his life. He came to church. He's diabetes. They started cutting his toes off. And he started coming on Sunday morning only. He prayed a time or two, but just couldn't get through. He came for one solid year. About 10, 11 months, he got rushed to the emergency room down next to our church in the same town. I'm preaching on a camel named Grace. And I walked in there. I beat his family there to the hospital. And I walked in. He said, preacher, can I talk to you? And I said, sure, Mr. Ackerman. He said, preacher, I believe I'm demon possessed. And this 82-year-old man, never been saved. He said, that's why I can't get saved. I'm demon possessed. I believe I'm demon, and he was a mean man. Amen. Matter of fact, the family warned me and my wife to not to be very careful when we went down there to visit him. And if he cussed us out or something terrible would happen, they weren't going to be responsible. I mean, he was a very, amen. But somehow God helped us to win him a little bit as friendship. And he confided in me there. And he said, I believe I'm demon possessed. And I was able to stand there right by his bed. I said, Mr. Ackerman, I looked him right in the face. I said, you are not demon possessed. Amen. Because he talked about his sinful life. I said, I agree. Amen. You've lived a sinful life. Amen. But I said, Mr. Ackerman, you are not demon possessed. And you know how? I know that. And he said, how? I said, demon possessed people don't come to church every Sunday. And want to find God.
Right, right.
Amen. You're just struggling with your past. Amen. About a month later, amen, we had camp meeting there at the church. Amen. And one of the day services, Mr. Ackerman was there, came in with a cane. One of the preachers got to preaching. Old time conviction got to moving. And I looked back and I seen Mr. Ackerman, 82 years old, just bawling and squalling and crying and sobbing. He was quivering. Amen. Conviction was in the house. And I watched as that elder man stood up. And when he stood up, grace knelt down. Woo! And that elder man on a cane came up to an altar, amen, and sat on the altar. He couldn't kneel down, and he sat on the altar, and he gloriously got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Matter of fact, I was down there looking up in, amen, down on the carpet looking up at him. His head was, he said, Brother Rick, I felt it lift. I feel the burden. I just got saved.
Woo!
I just got saved. I just got saved. I said, give me a microphone. I knew he had to testify, Brother Kurt, that publicly, amen. And so I stuck the microphone in his mouth, close to his mouth. I said, Charles, tell everybody what you just told me. He said, I just got saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
I'm talking about a camel named Grace.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
There may be an elder person here, amen, who's just coming to church, coming through the motions, but you're not really, really saved.
Come on.
Hey, I had a man and wife come to our camp meeting several years in a row. They go to church right there in the E-Town area. Amen. That church, he'd been in church for 30 or 40 years. I did not know he wasn't a Christian. I had no idea. The same year Mr. Ackerman got saved, amen, the same service, that elder man, I did not know he was not saved. He'd been coming, they brought their camper, came to him and his wife, amen, but later that night, amen, about some hours in the morning, he woke up under conviction, gloriously got saved. They come back the next morning, and when I went by shaking hands, his wife said, Brother Rick, amen, my husband just got saved last night in the camper, and he was in his late 70s.
Woo!
And I thought, I didn't even realize he wasn't saved. I'm telling you, grace, amen, is able to pick you up, amen, no matter how feeble you may be. The second thing about grace, and I'm hurrying, soon closing. The second thing about a camel, the characteristics of camels are known to carry heavy loads.
Right.
Amen. Matter of fact, their nickname is ships in the desert. They can carry between 500 and 1,000 pounds of weight. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, has anybody here ever carried some, had some tough times and felt like your load was just a little bit too heavy? Felt like, God, how am I going to make it?
Yeah,
how am I going to carry on? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, God gave you a little bit of grace. Amen. Seems like there's a song that says, 'Twas grace that brought me saved thus far. I don't really think, when you sing Amazing Grace, let me share something with you. When you sing Amazing Grace, you got to look back. Amen. You got to look back. It's a song that makes you look back.
Right.
Yeah. Amazing grace. 'Twas grace that what brought me safe. How long you been saved? How long you been saved, brother, right here on the front pew?
60 years.
60 years plus. What's carried you this 60 years? Grace.
Yeah. Holy, holy Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Holy.
Listen to me. I understand us Pentecostal folks. You know, we sing songs, I made up my mind, I'm going to make it. And we really talk about a made up mind.
Yeah.
And you need a made up mind. Don't get me wrong here. But I'll tell you something. I made up my mind a few times to lose weight. Don't be giggling. Don't be. You know what I'm talking about. I made up my mind a few times to save some money. I mean, you feel like you made up your mind after Christmas. We're gonna start January, and we're gonna start putting back a little bit for next Christmas. And time next Christmas, we're not gonna struggle like this Christmas. And you make up your mind, and about 2 months later, it sort of fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
I mean, how many's ever made up your mind? You felt like, and a month or two later. So don't trust your salvation to your made up mind. I'm going to tell you what, you'd be better trusting your salvation to grace.
Right, right.
God, give me grace. Woo! Give me grace. Yeah. Give me grace. Give me grace. Amen. A few times it seemed like I've stumbled under the load, but grace has come by and picked me up. Sometimes I feel like, God, I don't feel like I can carry another problem, another thing. I don't think I can go another mile, but grace puts me right on.
Hallelujah.
The third thing about a camel is the sureness of their feet. They have great, large, leathery pads that spread out. Amen. And in the, they say that they're able to walk across sand no matter how hot. Amen. And they won't sink and are able to walk over obstacles. Amen. You ever have the devil turn up the heat?
Yeah.
Amen. You ever have the devil turn up, amen, the heat? And you feel the pressures of life, job, amen, school, family, financial sicknesses. Yeah. Amen. Are you hearing me? And just feel like, amen, what in the world? How are you going to make it? Amen. But there's a song that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, what? I have.
Woo!
You got to look back. I have already. Anybody ever been through a few trials? Anybody ever had some trouble you came through? Anybody ever said, I don't know how I'm going to make it since I lost my mama? I don't know how I'm going to make it since I lost my father. I don't know how I'm going to make it, amen, after this. Amen. But all of a sudden, you're here now. That's been years later since you uttered those words. Can I tell you how you made it? You've rode the camel called grace. You're on that camel. You're crossing the desert. You're on that camel. You're following the Holy Ghost. You're on that camel. You're on your way to see Isaac. And how many knows that in a desert, sometimes there's storms. Sometimes, amen, the wind gets a howling.
Yeah.
Did you know a camel? Another characteristic of grace. Did you know a camel has three eyelids? Three. The first two eyelids blink like this, up and down like ours. The third lens is like a windshield wiper. The third lens of a camel, they can see through it. So when the storm gets very severe and they're crossing the desert with their passenger, they can just close that third lens and still travel right on in the storm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Some of you and me, you ever felt like I can't see in front of me?
Yeah.
I cannot see any way. It seemed like I was talking about that a little bit last night. Just felt hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see a way through? Talking about a light at the end of the tunnel, Brother Rick, it's just as black, amen, as that piano. I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. You know what you may have to do? Amen. You say, hey, wait a second. I can't see. I don't understand. I can't tell where I'm going. Amen. But you're on that camel. And so here's what you got to do. Amen. You just got to get on that camel. Amen. And you got to put your feet up on grace and trust in grace. Your eyes, you may not be able to see, but just follow grace. Follow grace where it leads me. Amen. Yeah. Don't get off the path. Don't give up on God. Don't backslide because it's a little tough. Amen. Yeah. Don't give up your faith because you can't see.
Yeah.
Trust grace to bring you through the storm.
Yeah.
Can you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Talking about a camel named
grace.
Hallelujah.
A camel. Amen. In closing, it's trained. I did not know this until the Lord gave me this message. A camel. And I'm talking about she was rode that camel.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for grace.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If you ain't thankful for grace and you don't understand grace.
No.
I know. I understand. I hear y'all. That's Baptist preaching. No, it ain't.
No.
Nobody.
It's Bible preaching.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
Yes, it
you're
is.
Here tonight,
cause of grace.
And you're still saved because of grace.
Yeah.
Thank God for a home church. Thank God for a pastor. And God uses every one of them. And that's in His order. Amen. But it's grace.
Grace.
God to give the pastor the message to preach. Amen. Just to give you enough grace. How many's ever heard your pastor preach a message? Amen. And you got a little bit of hope and faith rose in your heart. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Just when you came to church and you felt like you couldn't go no farther, God gave your pastor a sermon. Amen. Let's a little faith. You know what that was? That was grace. That was grace. God going right through his message, speaking to your heart, giving you grace in your life. Think, hey, and you leave the house of God saying, I can make it. Yeah. Amen. I am not going to quit. Oh. Amen. I may not understand why this is going on. I may not understand why I lost my baby. I may not understand why this is going on in my life. But grace!
Yeah.
Grace!
Woo.
I did not know this, but a camel is trained that in the fiercest of storms.
Yeah.
Now you can Google this. I guess that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know this, that a camel is trained that in when the storm is so severe that it could affect the rider. And maybe cause the rider to go blind or I mean, they said they trained the camels to do this. That camel is trained to do this. That camel would get all the way down, all the way down on its four knees, go all the way down on its belly and stop in the storm. And that's a signal to the rider to get off and get on the opposite side of the storm and let the storm hit the camel and block the wind and the sand from the rider. You ever had to shield yourself behind grace?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to help you. Come on here now.
Yes.
You ever just said, I can't take no more?
Yeah. No.
Come on here now. I can't take. You ever feel like you want to have a nervous breakdown?
Yeah.
You ever just pace the floor? I can't take no more, God. I'm not trying to complain. I'm not trying to murmur. I'm not trying to be a complainer. I'm not trying to whine and cry like a little baby. I literally can't take no more. Amen. That's when grace will stop.
Yeah.
Amen. And I can tell you, saying to God, that's when you just need to stop. Amen. And hide right behind grace. And let grace take it. I said, and let grace take it. I'm preaching on the camel man race. Amen. Rebecca got on a camel when she started the journey. And at the end of the journey, amen, she was riding a camel. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm talking about a camel named Grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody can hear the little grace?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Do you know there's not a desert? I'm closing. Somebody come get a song. There's not a desert, naturally. There's not a desert in the entire world, anywhere in the world. Listen to me. That a camel cannot cross.
Well. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. And you think of that. If that's not a perfect description of grace.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something, saying to God. There's not a storm in your life. There's not a desert in your life that grace can't take you all the way through. You hang on. Is this okay? You hang on. Grace is going to bring you through. And when you sing "Oh, Amazing Grace," you go back and study those words. Pull them up on your phone. 'Twas grace that brought God. The reason I'm saved now. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. Wonder why John Newton, amen, through many dangers. Ever come through some dangers? Toils and snares. Amen. We don't even think about some lyrics sometimes. I guess I'm a songwriter and think about it. Through dangers, many dangers, toils and snares. What I have, that's in my past, Brother Tom. I have already come. So let me tell you, saint of God, when you're in the storm, there's not a storm, there's not a desert big enough that grace can't bring you through it. This too shall pass, Pastor. This too shall pass. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. The Holy Ghost. And I say this humbly. I just felt like the Holy Ghost just spoke to my heart.
Come on, Brother Rick.
Just like I said last night, Somebody's in this house, and you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. And I just felt the Holy Ghost just whisper to my heart, you feel like you're never going to get across that desert. And in your situation, you feel hopeless. And I've come to tell you, the second night in a row, it's not hopeless. I said, it is not hopeless. Amen. It's not hopeless. I said, it's not. I'm telling you, some of you need to get that in your heart. Amen. You're on that camel called grace, and you're following the man. You're following the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. They use donkeys in the Old Testament. They use horses in the Old Testament. Why did Rebecca ride a camel? If it's not a type of grace, then why didn't they use a donkey? Why didn't they use a horse? You know why? Because a donkey will die 3 days without water in a desert. 3 days. A donkey will die 3 days in the water without water. In a desert without water. A horse can last 4 to 5 days without water in the sun. And it's fatal to their life. But a camel can walk across for 6 months without the first drink. I believe that camel is sure enough a type of grace.
Yes. Yes.
Rebecca got from where she was to when she seen Isaac riding that camel and following the Spirit of God. And you and I, when we get to heaven, amen, we'll get there because we're following the Spirit, Brother Kurt, and we're riding that camel named Grace. They said there's a wild, and I'm closing with this, there's a wild Bactrian, Bactrian, of the wild Bactrian camels of the Gobi Desert are known, it baffles scientists, that wild Bactrian camels of the Gobi Desert are known to be able to sense and find water up to 50 miles away. Dry where you're at. You just need a fresh drink of water. You hang on to grace. You hang on to grace, and grace will lead you to an oasis.
Right, right.
I don't know if Kurt knows that old song. Zach rather. And God is your oasis.
Yes, He is.
Anybody knows that old Henson song?
Yeah.
Anybody need oasis here? Can we all stand to our feet right now? I'm through preaching. You probably got a better one than that, Brother Zach. That's fine. You might not know them old Henson songs. He's too young, praise God. Us old folks, we know about them old Henson. God is our oasis.
Yeah.
Anybody here need a little grace?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Now let me show you something. Can I show you something in the Bible to prove that I feel like is a sure sign that this camel is a type of grace? Because when Rebecca saw Isaac, Brother Jack, what did she do? When she saw Isaac, the Bible says she lifted off the camel. When you finally see Jesus, you won't need grace any longer.
Right, right.
You think about it. When you get to heaven and you see the Son of God and you see Jesus in all of His glory, you'll get on that camel called grace because you made it home.
Yeah.
You made it home. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I said you made it home. I said you made it home. When you see Isaac.
Hallelujah.
Pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, encourage hearts. As Zach begins to sing, Father, encourage hearts.
Lord, help us.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost right here. Just worship God right here for a moment, church. Thank you. Can we sing that old hymn together? Or why don't you do it? Can you do it? Put it, maybe the chords you can sing it, Zach. Amazing Grace. Just do the chorus and then you can jump over and. Can we sing this together? Sing it, Brother Zach. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. I feel it.